You're listening to the Kennel Confidential Podcast, brought to you by the United Tree and Forest Association. I'm your host, Davin Ramage.
I'm your co-host, Chad Wagner.
Let's get into the episode. Welcome back, podcast listeners, to another episode of the Kennel Confidential Podcast. This week, of course, I've got Chad with me, and we have put a call in to Mr. Casey Sliman. Going to talk to him about his dogs, his history, his family, and everything that he wants to teach us. Casey, Chad, you there?
Yes, sir. Hello, yes. Mr. Casey.
How y'all doing?
Doing pretty good. Chad got to go squirrel hunting this morning, so he's doing better than I am. I had to work.
Yeah, Casey got to go squirrel hunting, too, because I called him this morning. He was getting ready to cut a dog loose, and I just killed my first squirrel.
So I'm the only working one here, I guess.
I'm blessed with a job that allows me to be able to hunt about every morning.
That is a blessing. I'm self-employed, and I always try to work my schedule around that way so that I can do that. Just ask Chad. It never works. He'll call me. Did you go today? Nope, didn't work out. All right. So we've done a quick introduction of you already, Casey, but tell the listeners who you are, where you're from, and what you do for hobbies outside of dog hunting.
My name is Casey Sliman. I'm from McEwen, Tennessee. I have my wife's name's Nicole, and I have four kids. My oldest is Wyatt. Second is Paisley. Third is Waylon. And the last is Rory. So two boys, two girls. We are pretty much a dog family, animal family. We love to hunt, fish. We farm a lot. We do 1,050 acres of row crop.
Wow.
And have right at close to 100 head of cattle. After weaning, we'll get down to probably 60, 70 head of mama cows and a couple bulls. But we raise freezer beef. And so we're always on the farm, always in the woods. Always doing something with animals. So that's pretty much all our hobby revolves around, animals and hunting.
I'm going to come down there and live with you. That's the lifestyle I'm looking for.
It's an
Can I work for you?
I'm blessed. I'm a blessed man.
Well, jumping into the dogs and the animal life then, tell us a little bit about when you got your start with tree dogs.
I worked at a feed mill when I was a sophomore in college, and it's a local feed mill, and that man there, his name was Mike Edgman, and he had squirrel dogs, and one of them was a Barger Feist, and then one dog was half Jack Russell, half Feist. He's short, bench-legged, kind of long, and he took me squirrel hunting, and I love dogs. I love doing anything with dogs. And them two squirrel dogs, he just let me take them and go squirrel hunting. And they had a litter. I got a puppy out of it. And it wasn't 2 weeks. I accidentally ran it over. And I was tore up because I was excited about having a squirrel dog. And my father-in-law, he says, I've heard about this guy named Bill Barger. Let me call him, see what I can do. So he called him. And he said he had one male available. And he said, I need to come get it this weekend. They're ready to go. So we drove to Harriman, Tennessee, and picked up my first, I guess, second squirrel dog, first proven squirrel dog. I hated running over that puppy. I knew that puppy was going to make something, but we started over, and we got Rocky. And the reason we came up with Rocky Top, which we are Alabama fans. We do Alabama footballs, what we go to, and Titans football, but we got Rocky, and we're leaving, and we couldn't figure out his name, and we turned the radio on, and Rocky Top was playing, so we just named him Rocky. We knew it was going to stick with him, and he's probably a little over 13 now.
Wow.
I still have him. He's actually hanging at my feet right now. He stays in the house now. He's pretty much been a house dog his whole life, because we took him everywhere with us. We go to Bass Pro, he'd go with us. When me and my wife were dating through college, he went everywhere with us. I just went to the woods really, he trained me and I trained him. There was no really either one of us knowing what we were doing. And I'd see a squirrel in a field, or we'd go around the feed mill, and if squirrels were out, we'd turn him loose. And that's kind of, and then go to the woods, and he'd take after the squirrels and trim, and we just started shooting squirrels. And then when he turned 8, I went down to Laura Hill, saw on Facebook there were squirrel hunts, went down there. That morning cast, it was pouring down rain. He got second place, and that evening, I think, he got third or fourth and really enjoyed it. And that's where I met guys at Ice Hunts, and then actually just started going from there. And Rocky, I bred him to a female out of Shane Roberts owned a female, Barger female, that came from Bill Barger. And we bred them too. And I got Merle, which most people know Merle now because I coon hunt with him a lot and fife or squirrel hunt, but he's out of Rocky, and he's kind of what I take hunting all the time now. Usually if you see Merle, you see my kids behind him too. I usually take one kid with me every competition hunt. All my kids are with me when I go squirrel hunting or coon hunting at night. That's kind of how really I got started with fife. It's just a job that a man had some squirrel dogs and I wanted one. And took off from there.
Right. Well, let me back up just a little bit, Casey. And I noticed you'd mentioned this, but you see this question asked a million times on Facebook, and a lot of newer guys, you know, come on. Well, should I get a pup and start it, or should I get something that's already started, or something that's finished? And I've always been a big fan of getting a pup, raising it up, and just walking it through the woods. And that's kind of what you did with Rocky. How do you think that turned out?
Oh, actually, every one of my dogs out in my pen or in the houses, I got them from a pup. But that's just how we are. I've got a lab. I got him as a pup. I did a lot of duck hunting. So I got a lab as a pup. I got Rocky as a pup. Merle, my other squirrel dog, he was a pup. I'm big on getting them as a puppy. If you're going to devote your time to have you a good, true squirrel dog, definitely do it as a pup. And just, you know, that's, like I tell people, it's one of my family members. I think the better bonding to you, I look for a dog that wants to please me. Now that I know more about hunting dogs, I look for one that's very outgoing, wants to please me, wants to be with me.
That's kind of what I look for as well. And people ask another question, well, how do you train your dogs? And I think most of the time as feist hunters, we use that word training as, I don't know, I don't think it's really training as much as it's given opportunity. I don't think I've ever trained a dog. I've just always give them opportunities and they've done it.
I agree with that 100%. Like I've never really trained one. Merle, I think he was probably 10, 12 weeks old when I got him. Went up there to pick him up, brought him home, played with him a couple days. Every day I try to get one of my kids. Their job is to get the puppies out, play with them, the other one feed them, the other one water them. At least give them 30 minutes a day, which my kids, it ends up being all afternoon trying to get out of homework. but each one of them kind of has their job to do. And I think, you know, just giving them that opportunity. And as a pup, we might do a drag a squirrel hide around or something like that. And then rest of the time is go to the woods. And we might catch a squirrel that's getting in the chicken coop or something and show them a live squirrel on a tube. But other than that, it's exactly what you said, opportunities in the woods.
And then getting back to Rocky and Merle, I know you mentioned, you know, a hunt down at Laurel Hill. What are some of the other accomplishments that you accomplished with Rocky?
Rocky, he was Tennessee State, NKC, Tennessee State champion. And then he's a grand champion NKC, which I started him at 8 and then by 10. So he had 2 years there. We did just NKC feist and cur hunts. and those were held at Lower Hill. I never really took him anywhere else. I took him to a Kentucky hunt in KC when granding him out, and he won that champion class and got a win towards his grand. Then I bred him and got Merle, and he really took off there. I did the, I think it was the NFBA for NKC, and he had a couple third places at them, a fourth. He made world trend champion in 2019. So he's had a few titles put on him, you know, pretty good, like third in the Louisiana State, fourth in the Georgia, and then I got Merle pretty quick. Merle, I started him at 6 months old in comp hunts, which was probably too early.
How did he do it six months old? Did you have a lot of success at all?
First hunt, he won. That evening, he won first place. Took him to Watertown, won his cast, and he was squirrel champion. I think it was 100 points and a win, I think, in NKC. So I championed him out, and it was like three hunts.
I was going to say, it sounds like it wasn't too early.
He started training at 5 months old, and Kevin Williams and Jacob Williams was with me. Kevin Williams owned a jammer that Keith Peebles owns now. And we had Rocky and Jammer, leaves were on the trees. It was actually probably hot. And Merle was just 5 months old, playing at our feet, didn't have a care in the world. He's living it up. He's a puppy hanging out with three people. And Jacob, young boy, he was probably 15, 16. He was always playing with him. And Rocky and Jammer were off treeing, trying to get treed. It was hot that day. And Merle goes over to a cedar tree about 30 yards, looks up it and barks a few times. I was like, well, look at him there. He saw a bird or something. And he came back to me, went back to sniffing and went back over there and just bellied up on it and started treeing. And I'm like, well, so I wonder what, I don't see no squirrels. The cedar tree was not that really big. And Jacob goes over there and there was a vine on it, yanks that vine, and the squirrel came out and hit the ground. Well, Merle and that squirrel took off, and he caught that squirrel, and that squirrel bit him, and it was over from then. I mean, I was taking him every day, and he was treeing them, and I was shooting every one to him. And I actually go to that Lower Hill hunt, and I was going to make Rocky a super grand, and he was probably 10 at this time. I know he was 10 years old, and there was no grand champions there because I was going to super grand him. And they told me, there's like, well, you just have to beat the whole. And in the NKC, you have to beat the entire cast, squirrel champions and non-champion dogs in order to get your win. And they were like, well, just whip out that little black and tan pup you got with you. I was like, well, I guess it's kind of young. And I put him in there and he wins his cast and then wins that evening. And I'm like, well, guess I got a squirrel dog again. And then at 9 months old, I took him to the NKC Feist World Hunt. He got 9th or 10th place out of 27 dogs. So he's placed in the top five, I know, at least, in every world hunt that he's been in except one. We've gotten put out one morning cast at world hunt. And he's been in probably, I think, 7-8 world hunts, whether it been NKC, NSD, UKC. I try to go to all, any big hunts that an association has, I try to support them. And if I can hunt in them, I go to them. And we're going to do some USDC hunts this year.
Yeah, I know. I judged up there at the world hunt last year, and you ended up reserve. I think you had something on your back the whole time you was there, didn't you?
I carry a kid every hunt. I think one of the world hunts, probably the two world hunts I entered, I think one was an NSD and one was a NSD Feist only. I didn't carry a kid, and I did not advance. So I take a kid every one, which are all my kids enjoy it. I mean, sometimes I take my two oldest, and they like a hotel, but man, it's something about camping out and staying in the truck. They love it. And I'm like, I might not get much sleep, but them kids love it. We get up the next morning, we go to the hunt.
Yeah, I know you was telling me that. Said, if you don't have a kid on your back, you don't make it through. So from now on, you're going to have a kid on your back.
Every time. I think I took them to
bad shape when they get about 15.
I know. I don't have to carry me around. I tell them that way. I've got it planned out. When I get about 90 or 80, if I make it that long, I at least got four of them. They can carry me around in a wheelchair on their back or something so I can keep on hunting. So, at least one out of the four maybe will enjoy hunting, which they love it right now, and I try not to burn them out. I've never had them not want to go. Out of the four, one of them wants to go every time. So, and they love it. They love shooting squirrels, or they just like going to the comp hunts, hanging out with people, and I've always enjoyed that.
Do they like to eat them?
Oh, they ain't much on eating them.
My six-year-old loves them.
The legs, they're all about the leg. Now, if you cook them, now if you throw the squirrel in there, fry them, and it looks like a squirrel, they're just kind of a little iffy on that one. The young ones don't, you know, my youngest boy, he don't care. He'll eat anything. My oldest daughter, she's kind of like, yeah, I'm not eating that. And my wife is like, I'm not cooking a rat in a tree, so.
That's the way my wife is. My six-year-old, though, she likes the squirrel dumplings. I fixed her some when she was little. I made her eat the whole bowl before I told her what it was. She did. She cleaned the bowl up, and I said, you know what that was? And she said, chicken? And I said, no, that was a squirrel. And she cut her eyes over at me and said, what? But so now she calls it squirrel soup. She'll still ask me for squirrel soup. I've tried to get her to eat tacos and fried and all these other ways, but she says, no, I just want that soup. My wife won't touch it.
When I just steel hunted when I was little, my mom would make squirrel dumplings out of squirrels I'd shoot. But I've just always liked anything I can do with a dog involves hunting. I do it with a dog. I'd just rather do it that way. And especially if I can't do it with my kids, I don't do it. So if I can't have my kids with me doing it, I'm definitely not going to participate in it.
Which you do all that farming. Have you got a good chunk of private land there to hunt? Covered up in squirrels?
I do. I'm blessed on that part, and one of my farms is actually close to a WMA that's 2,800 acres, and it's small game only. Unless you draw, they'll have where you can draw a big game tag, which is only a couple weekends, and turkey, they'll do maybe two weekends out of turkey season that's draw. Other than that, it's small game only, and it's no four-wheelers, no horseback or anything like that. You have to walk everywhere you go.
Or be carried by your dad.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And so, and in Hickman County, like I work, our farm's in Hickman County where I work at, and there's some hills and hollers through there. It'll definitely condition a dog. My kids just, you know, I have a backpack that's went through all four of them. It's on the last one now. Rory, which is my youngest daughter, she actually is in a cast right now. She broke her arm at a ball game.
Ooh.
But she's good, and she's still fitting that backpack, so I know that thing's gonna last me another couple years. So it's made it about 7 years, 8 years.
You may need to hold that backpack up next time on the podium and see if you can't get a sponsorship there.
I'm telling you, I'm like, with as much as on Facebook and stuff and all these, everything's on social media now, I'll probably get me a sponsorship with that backpack.
And I told him up there at the World Hunt, he needs to make him some kind of harness and patent it. He might make his millions off of that.
Yeah.
Slime and Kid Packer 3,000.
Yeah, that's it.
Or 4,000. You got four kids. We'll call it a 4,000.
And my two oldest, they're past the carrying point. Usually it's Mike Perry or Sweet Pea from Lawrenceburg. They usually stay to the end of the hunt at the last cast or the midday cast. Both of them, I feel bad because they end up babysitting. My two oldest, they hang with us. And if we get branched off, dogs split treat everywhere, my kids will stay with Sweet Pea or Mike Perry. And they're like, well, I guess I'll just babysit if I don't make it, huh? And I was like, well, I'll just stay later if I don't make it and just support you.
Well, is it a paid gig? Do they get paid?
I should pay them. I really do. If I'm out on lunch, if we go out on lunch in the middle of the day or something, I try to buy their meal or something for them, because they're always, I mean, they're like, hey, just let them hang with me while y'all go to your tree or something, you know. And it's usually when it gets down to that last 30 minutes of the cast, and I've got a kid on my shoulders or one standing at my side, and it's like, oh, boy, you're going to have to really get it, because we're going to have to get to these dogs. and it's adrenaline rush, and we love it. They love it. My two oldest, I entered a 9-dog shootout in Shovelville, Tennessee, and that part of Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, like East Middle Tennessee, has a lot of canes. And Heath Denny was, I think, putting on the 9-dog shootout, and we got there later in the afternoon. It was probably 7, and we ended up going coon hunting. And I think we went coon hunting till about 1 or 2 in the morning and couldn't find a hotel. I was like, kids, well, I've got to sleep. We got to hunt in the morning. I said, we got to find a hotel. I went to 8 different hotels. None of them had rooms available. And my kids were like, we want to sleep in the truck. We want to sleep in the truck. I was like, all right. So I pulled over in a Walmart parking lot, and it was cold that time of the year. And I'd lay my sleeping bag out in the back seat and one in the front seat, and we'd sleep. They slept all night or all morning. I'd wake up every 30 minutes, crank the truck, let it warm back up, and cut it off. And then we finally woke up about 5:30, and both kids were still asleep. I rode to the hunt, left that heat running for a while, and got up that morning. We made it to the finals in that 9-dog shootout, which I knew Merle, he was exhausted, and it was still fun, though.
I think the kids got it figured out. They don't like the hotel because you got to wake them up and get them out of bed and all that stuff. But if they're sleeping in the truck at Walmart and Dad's going to start the truck and drive them to the hunt, they don't really have to get up.
They don't have to do nothing. We got to the hunt, I think they slept till about turnout. I usually try to park them close to the door of the clubhouse or wherever we're having the hunt at. They just get up and they just walk in. I'm like, well, it's nice you woke up and joined the hunt, you know.
They got Dad figured out.
They do.
Well, to backtrack a little bit to some of the training, when I was doing a little bit of Facebook digging on you and surfing, I come across a post that I kind of liked and got my attention, and I forget the fella's name, but he gave you a dog named Judy and had mentioned that he was kind of frustrated and given up on Judy, and that you had took her, and I don't remember if the post said how long it took, but that you had turned her around. Is that ringing a bell?
Yeah, Judy is the bull litter mate's sister to Merle, which there was only one cross between Rocky and Daisy. It's Robert's Daisy. And I actually, Shane kept a red male and Judy, which Judy, I guess you call black and tan, but everywhere that's tan is a dark red. And he called me. The dogs were probably 6 months old, 7 months old, and asked if I wanted to buy the red male. So I bought the red male from him. Went hunting, got him going good, and I called him Big Red. One place that I hunt, it's a dirt road. It had like 3 houses on it. That dirt road's long. And we're hunting. We're actually close to the dirt road. Squirrel comes out of the tree, runs across the dirt road, and just so happened the mail lady was stopped at a mailbox. One thing about Merle, no one knew about Big Red or Judy, but everybody knows about Merle. When you're in a cast with him, if I tell you, you know, step by a tree or step out of the way, here comes Merle, you learn real quick. That dude, he comes with so much full speed, he'll take your legs out if you're in the way. It's like he is focused. He's on a scent or something. He is rolling. And Big Red was the same way, and he smacked the side of the mail lady's car and broke his neck.
Oh, man.
At full speed. He thought he was going to get that squirrel, which that was a killer. It tore me. I was like so disappointed.
Poor mail lady.
Yeah, she was tore up.
Wrong place at the wrong time.
Oh, she called the cops. She was tore up because, you know, I knew what happened. And I was walking down there. she done called the cops because she's like, I promise I didn't ruin the ice. Like, I know what happened. I saw pretty much the whole thing. I was like, don't worry about it. I said, it happens. Shane called me when Judy was probably a little over a year old, I'd say. And he said he just couldn't get it rolling. And he actually got one of them pups back from another guy. And his name was Tiny, and Tiny was rolling. So they kind of wanted to keep Tiny rolling in the woods. They didn't have as much time for Judy, and I got Judy. And I caught a coon in the chicken coop one night. And I was like, well, I'll mess with her the next day. And I messed with her with that coon, and she treed it. And I was like, excellent. And I started taking her squirrel hunting, which I started. I'll go to the park or one of our farms, if we got grain in grain bin, there's squirrels everywhere. And she started chasing them squirrels, and I just started praising her when she got on them trees, get her to bark, and I'd leash her to every tree. That's one thing with the dogs. I try to, if they tree, I'm leashing them to it. Merle knows when he goes and gets treed, don't leave till I get there. And when I get there, I'm leashing you to the tree. I might lose a squirrel over the deal, but I just try to keep in that routine of them, hey, I'm staying here. I worked with her with that coon, got her on them squirrels, which I was taking her about every day. And it's just like light bulb went off in her head, and she was going and getting treed quick. And I let her out of the pen, and she wouldn't want nothing to do with the kids in the yard or nothing. She was going and getting treed, and I was having to go get her out of neighbors' yards and stuff. And I called Shane. I was like, look, I'm going to sell her. She's a starter squirrel dog and everything. I said, but I got Merle, and she's good to go. And I sold her back to him, and he's questioning me. He's like, man, you're just going to sell her a squirrel dog back to me? I was like, well, I want you to have her back, you know. I know you want to keep her bloodline and stuff because Daisy passed away. So I was trying to keep that bloodline to him, and I tried to. You know, if Rocky, something happens to Rocky, I'm glad I got Merle. And I wouldn't mind having another dog out of Rocky because Rocky's getting up in age, and that just kind of keeps my bloodline around.
Right.
And so I sold her back to him, and he couldn't believe she'll go and get treed. She's not real as fast as Merle, but she's pretty good. I liked her.
Well, that's kind of what I was wondering, what she looked like when she started in the process, and it sounds like the process was just exposure is all she needed.
That's all it is. I have a female out of Dexter. That was the same way with that pup. I just take them wherever the squirrels are. It's just getting them chasing them squirrels. You may have a dog that's shy. I actually had another female I got from Kevin A. Yates owned her. Came from James Byron. It was a Dexter female. Her name was Becca. She was a brindle gyp, but she was kids shot fireworks one day. And she ran from the house, was gone for 3 days, and she finally came back to the house because she was so scared of fireworks, so she was gun-shy. And Kevin Yates gave her to me. Look, she does not like a 22 gun. She's gun-shy, and they gave her to me. And it took a little longer for me to get her out of the gun-shyness. It was kind of hard. Like, I got her to chasing them squirrels and treeing them squirrels, taking her to a heavy population where squirrels are, and I'd leash her real quick and shoot the squirrel out. When that squirrel hit the ground, praise are really good. And that was probably pretty difficult as far as gunshot breaking a dog. And when I'd feed her at night, I'd shoot a 22 when she'd go to her dog food bowl. And if she ran away, I'd take her dog food bowl back. And then I'd put it back down. When she'd go to eat, I'd shoot that 22. And eventually she kept eating and would stand there. She may cower down or something, but she eventually just stayed there when I shot that 22, and that helped when we got to the woods too, as far as her staying there when I shot the 22. And eventually she didn't care what you shot. She knew a squirrel was coming out, and she was fired up.
Do you let the dogs have them? Once they fall out, the young dog getting started, do you let them chew on them? Or?
I do. Merle, he'll chew on their heads. That's about it. Same thing with Rocky. My female Biddy, she might chew on them a minute. If they ain't moving, she don't care about them. But I definitely let the pups play with them. Sometimes when I shoot, you know, if it's their first season with leaves off the tree, they shoot one, it falls, then I'm grabbing it, pulling up the tree, playing with them, making them bark, praising them. try to keep it exciting for them pups. But usually after they get up in age, they just want to chew on their heads, and I just take them. I got one old man that likes squirrels, and he likes me to skin them with the heads on them, keep the heads on them. And I'm like, yeah, what? You can have them, you know. I'll do it for you. You can have all you want. And so I try to save some for him so he could have the whole heads.
Yeah, I think a lot of people give up on dogs way too early lot of the times.
They do. A lot of people may have sports hobbies. I tell people, like, look, just give them that first year of you every day. Every day messing with them, take them to the woods, doing something with them. It don't have to be necessarily taking them to the woods, but you're doing something every day with them, and you'll have a squirrel dog. You know, how the potential of throttle to get up and go, like people unleash them, they're gone. It may not have that, but it'll be one you can go out and you and your kids or you and some buddies or just you can go and get a limit of squirrels. I mean, when I go pleasure hunting, Merle sometimes, he's geared so high. Sometimes I like to use Biddy, my female, a little closer hunting. She's not as amped up. And I got a buddy that has a female out of Rocky and Biddy. She is the best pleasure dog. I mean, we turn her loose. We're not having to kill ourselves going to the top of the ridge, down the ridge. He has her where she's trained. If we're on top of the ridge, she's going to at least stay around that ridge. And then when we get down the bottom, she's going to stay to the bottom. And she's a great pleasure dog. I mean, we've shot, she probably shot 350 squirrels to her last year. We'd go hunting together, and he's like, you going to get Merle? I'm like, nah, just not her. I just want to, you know, take a casual walk without having to go up the hill, down the hill, wherever.
And what? Even in competition, you don't have to have that unsnap, go deep. You know, you don't necessarily have to have that to competition hunt either, but I can see where it helps sometimes, but you don't necessarily have to have that.
No, you don't. That's what I tell people. My buddy that Matt that has that little female out of Rocky and Biddy, her name's Bitsy. He went to some comp hunts with me. He's like, man, my dog can do this. I'm like, man, comp hunts are, you know, people just blow that out of perspective. I said, what I go to comp hunts for is to see other dogs work and just the people. And my kids, get my kids out. I mean, you get to hunt different places, different territories. So you're pretty, like, we go to Indiana, we go all over the Southeast, and it just gives you the opportunity to see other terrain and learn about other people. And I've gotten to know quite a few people. I'm actually going to go to Indiana. I went to Assessor to a comp hunt, met a guy there, and he wants to go coon hunting, squirrel hunting. So I'm going to go stay in the Airbnb, and we're going to go up there, and we're going to coon hunt and squirrel hunt for a weekend.
Are you now, packing a kid?
Coon hunt and squirrel hunt, Merle both, right?
Yes, I did Rocky too. I'm not a huge Facebook guy, so there's not tons of pictures as much as Rocky. About the only pictures you see of Rocky on Facebook is usually when my wife's family photos, or, you know, she's always taking pictures and posting of him. But I'm not a huge Facebook person, so you don't see as much as him. And you still don't see a ton of Merle, because I just don't post a lot. But I coon hunted Rocky a lot, because some tracts of land that I got, maybe 70-100 acres. Coon dog, when they get on one track, that's why their mindset's set on that one track. They're going to find that coon trim. Rocky and Merle, I mean, and some nights it's like squirrel hunting. I took a buddy, JP Hart, and his oldest two. We went coon hunting with my oldest, and we treed three coons and was back at the house by 10:30. It's kind of some nights like squirrel hunting on small tracts of land or even big tracts of land, but where mostly you can't turn a hound loose that's going to get out and get on someone else's land if you're worried about that. That's why I like hunting in forest, and not many people even coon hunt anymore.
I guess all the people that worry about combo hunting dogs messing them up, with Merle's success and Rocky's success, that's a pretty good testament to that's not going to mess them up. It doesn't hurt them at all.
People have asked me that a million times, and I'm like, look, how you do things may mess them up. I'm not saying do it. I said, I'm just telling you what I do. When I turn my dog loose at night, I tell him to go find a coon. When I turn him loose at day, go find a squirrel. Now, he may treat, there's been probably three competition hunts that he's treated coon. And it's actually been them three hunts, I think, were no squirrels moving. And it was like, one was an NKC hunt, and it was after an hour and a half, he treated coon. Like, he was like, man, there ain't no squirrels moving. And he finally treated coon, big old boar coon. And he about caught the thing. Merle had a problem. He about climbed a tree. If that coon's coming down, he'll go meet that coon. He's not scared of nothing. Neither was Rocky. Well, that's his problem. They both think they're 9 foot tall and bulletproof. Yeah, I don't think it messes with them. But I treat coon hunting like I do the squirrel hunting. When he goes in trees, I leash him to the tree and shoot the coon out.
Well, and is that something?
You were talking about Cesar a minute ago. I hunted up there, and first tree that Bo had made was a coon. Then last year at the UKC World Hunt, we had a dead cast. The only thing that was treed was a coon. Bo treed a coon on that cast.
It was UKC World Hunt, treed a coon. When I was in Cesar, Illinois, it was hard not to treat a coon or Indiana and Illinois. Both times I went up there, we treated a coon, which we were driving to our spot to cast out, and the big old coon came across the road. It seems like up north they got more coons than Tennessee.
I've threatened to switch and start coon hunting some, but I don't believe I'll ever will. Not that I think it'll mess him up. It's just that I don't want to be out there all night.
And a lot of people have asked me that. I didn't want to be out at 1 or 2 in the morning. You know, they did that in their younger days. And I'm like, man, I'm home. 90% of the time, we're home by 10 o'clock. Because a lot of times, we hunt during the weekdays. By the time the kids get home from school, do their homework, we probably don't have that much of daylight left. So when we go hunting, especially if a comp hunt's coming, we're going to work a dog, regardless if it's day or not. That dog needs to be out in them woods and hunting. And I've had him tree squirrels at night. You'll look on them thermals now, and flying squirrels are everywhere. People don't realize how many flying squirrels there is. And I think in NKC, them things count. So I've had him tree flying squirrels, and I've had him tree a nest, and you could see the squirrel in the nest. So he still trees squirrels at night, but he's going to tree a bunch of coons too if they're moving.
Have you ever tried him in any competition night hunts?
I hadn't. This past weekend was a Claude Thomas World Hunt, and I wanted to go up there bad and do the squirrel hunt and the coon hunt, but I just got back from South Dakota for a week hunting trip, and I have to get the rest of the crop out of the field. And
the work always gets in the way.
You know, like, we got to get you got to prioritize them sometimes in life. So I figure I better stay home. But I'm going to I think there's another one that might be coming up, coon hunt. I'm going to put him in one. The problem is if you get points for striking, he's going to get ate up, because I'd have to strike him, I guess, right when he trees, and then tree him three barks later or something. Because usually he don't ever really bark on the ground or nothing. He don't bark on track usually at night. He just slams the tree and starts treeing. And sometimes if you hear a squeal or something, you better be getting running. You better get there, because he's already caught the coon before he got up the tree.
That's pretty cool.
So on your breeding, I know you talked about, you know, you bred Rocky and got that litter out of Merle, and that was the only time. Is that the only time Rocky was bred?
I had two females. Their names are Barger's Crimson and Barger's Aggie, and I bred them to Rocky. There's a handful of people that I know that hunt that scout pups out of them that really love them, and I've been with them. They're really good. Rocky's probably been bred, five or six times, not a lot. The last cross Rocky's made is Matt Cozart's Jane. It's actually, Jane is a sister to Pig that Ken Isley owns. We bred Rocky to her. She has three pups. And that's the last litter out of Rocky. And I think them three are showing really good potential. But I never bred Rocky that much. Now, Merle, he's probably been bred 10 times already, and I've not had a litter yet that didn't produce square dogs. They've come out, you know, ready to go. I've had good luck with them. I actually have a buddy. He's not a big Facebook guy. His name's Woody Long. He's on Facebook some. He's an older gentleman that is retired, and he has a cabin in Missouri close to Mark Twain National Forest, and hunts in Arkansas too and Tennessee. He, that's pretty much what he does is squirrel hunt. He has a gyp that's out of Merle, and she's really nice. And his buddy has one out of a different litter in Arkansas that he loves her to death. He's had really good success. And they're popping up, you know, here and there. Not a lot of Facebook people, so you probably don't see them as much right now.
I don't, maybe you told us, how old is Merle?
Four. He's pretty young still. I haven't went to any comp hunts this year. I'll start going to them soon, but I really ain't pushed him really hard. You know, I try to go at least 5 to 10 hunts a year. I like to get up close to that 10 mark, but last year I think it was like 5. The year before that was 7. That's why I try. Big hunts, I try to participate, try to support everybody. So I'll hit the big hunts, but I'll probably push him pretty hard next year. He'll be 5 next year. Let's see. April 29th, it's his birthday. He gets better every year. He's kind of like Rocky. Rocky got better every year. Same, whether it was more squirrels or what, but it seems like every year they get better and improve.
They're about like we are, I believe. They just learn different tricks.
That's it. Like when Merle was probably 1, 2 years old, right in that mark, I got some buddies that love to squirrel hunt with dogs. Again, they're not Facebook people. They're not going to go to competition hunts, but they know the competition stuff. And one of them was like, I'll handle Merle and you handle Rocky, and we're going to do this like a comp hunt. And we turned them both loose, and Merle was popping them squirrels off right at the start. I think he had 2 or 3 squirrels. And Rocky, he's up in age then. I think he was like 11. He got one holler, and it's like Rocky, 4 trees in a row, had a squirrel. We popped out 4 squirrels. And that old man came back and showed that young boy what it was all about. So it's always fun to kind of watch them both. I'll turn them loose occasionally together and, you know, keep score on them. And it's like them two know it's a competition, and it's fun watching them.
Bragging rights.
It is. And Rocky, you can hunt him. He's 13, so you can hunt him after a couple hours, he starts to get a little stiff on me. So I try not to push him too hard. And really, you can't push either one of them. I think both these dogs, no matter what you do, they got so much hunt in them, they probably hunt till they had a heat stroke or their heart burst. I mean, it didn't matter what I turned Rocky loose in, he was going to go hunt. Same as Merle, like summertime, we'll go turn loose. And that's summertime, I like turning loose at night, even if we treat coons, but it's just cooler. So that's kind of like how we got into the coon hunting as much, because I was turning loose late in the evening and at night.
Yeah, I was going to ask that a minute ago, if that was something you intentionally started them on or if it just kind of happened by cutting them loose at night.
It just happened. I never, you know, never shown them a caged coon till, you know, they were both older before they ever seen it, like a caged coon, and most of them were trapped in the chicken coop, and that's them running around the yard and me trying to get the coon out of the chicken coop, and they come running by. And they want to get on the coon. So Merle, the month of January, we killed 20 to him. And this year, he's already blown that out the water. I think we killed 5 the other night. The night before that, we killed 10. Each kid wants to shoot, and you better have a good spot with a lot of canes, because all my kids, they at least each one has to get a shot at a cane.
Well, and yeah, I think maybe you told us their ages a little while ago, but how old is the oldest one?
Oldest one's 9.
That's a little girl, you said?
My oldest one's 9. He's a boy.
Boy, okay.
Yeah, boy, girl, boy, girl. Oldest daughter is 7, and then 5 is Waylon, and Rory is 3, 4.
They like going with you so much. Is there young pups coming up? Are we going to see some little Slimans in these hunts?
Oh, eventually. All of them want to eventually do the comp hunts. I just going to run out of dog space, that's for sure. I'm going to have to get a bigger kennel, because if each one of them wants to do a comp hunt. But they really like going, and really they enjoy the people just as much as I do. Usually I can go to a hunt when we're at the clubhouse or something. My kid's hardly with me. They're hanging out with this person over here, going over here, hanging out with that person. They'll come to me for some money or something, get some lunch, but then they're back off talking to whoever.
Well, that's cool, though, to get to get the kids involved and then be that excited about it. My kids are, well, I've got, like I said, I got a 6-year-old, but we had 2 at a time. So I've got another little boy, and my 6-year-old's little girl, and then I've got a 15-month-old little boy and a 15-month-old little girl. Anytime Chad's wanting to go hunting or something like that, and I'm, oh, no, you know, kids this, kids that, he tells me, well, Casey packs his kids.
And that's kind of like, I want to do something, but also, like, if I can take them hunting and my wife needs to do something at work. So I try to make it where I never want them to hold me up from doing something, and I never want to hold them up from doing something, but I also want to teach them. And so sometimes I just have to suck it up and carry a kid on my back and come after the first couple times doing it with my oldest son. And it's like, man, this is just how we are now. I've always wanted to make an emblem for your kennel or something. I'd love to have an emblem of a tree with a dog treeing on it, but somehow a dude with a kid on his back. But it just helps them enjoy it too, because I think working dogs sometimes can be a dying breed. And then sometimes when guys have dogs, their direction is just that dog and not that direction of, hey, after this dog's gone or after we get older, our kids going to want to do this and make it bigger. Just keep the tradition going. Because squirrel season around my house, when it opens up, my kids are asking a month before then, or if it's a while, we ain't turned loose. Daddy, when we going squirrel hunting?
That's what I'm trying to build in mind. I've almost got her worked up to, she told me that she wanted to go to the competition hunts, and there's been a couple in Hardin already this year, just up the road from us. And I ask her every time, and it's, no, not this time, or no, not that time. But then I'll be taking her to school, and she'll be talking about the hunt. And I'll say, well, you want to go with me next time? Yeah, I'll go. And then the night before, you going to go with me in the morning? No, not this time. I'm trying to get her going on the bench. I like the bench show, and, you know, she sees me get out in the garage and mess with the pup. And I'm trying to at least get her interested in that part, because, you know, somebody can bring her to the clubhouse and drop her off if she doesn't want to get up early, and get her to do the bench show, and then somebody can take her home when it's over. I'm trying to get her into it slowly. You know, at the same time, I don't want to drag her to it and then her resent me the whole time, because then she'll never like it.
And that's what I've liked about the bench and the training contest, which I know training contest can't be some states against live animal in a cage and a dog training and stuff, so it kind of hurts on that. But that's always gave your kids and guys that necessarily can't go walk on them casts no more, but they still do that bench show and that training competition with their dog, and that just kind of keeps the fire going in the kids that can't do it. And that's why I've always been for the bench show and the training contest, because it's either helping it grow or keeping it going. Things get wrapped around just the hunt, but I try not to. If I do it, I do all the organizations. I go to all of them, but like once I have the train contest and the bench show, you know, that's really what's pushing them organizations to grow. Because you got to keep your men that have already done it and women that have already done it, that just, you know, they can't go out on them casts, but it keeps them coming to them hunts and enjoying the people, and then the kids doing the bench show and that train contest, and it helps it grow, because eventually they'll be where they want to go out on a cast and run a dog. I don't ever, it never hurts my dogs, whether like training contests, people say it hurts their dog to see an animal in a cage. Like they'll want to go for the cage. It's never hurt any of mine in the bench show. I mean, that just shows you setup of your dog and gives a kid something to do. Everybody really. And that's why, you know, why I like the bench and the training contest when it's available.
You know, we're just coming off that episode with Aiden, which, you know, we did that kind of as a youth highlight. Aiden, I don't know if you listened to it, but he's 14 years old and pretty hot in the coon hunting. But he's got a Reynolds Feist that he puts in the squirrel competitions, and 14 years old. I mean, he's a quality young man. I'll say that. And I've been around him a little bit at clubhouses, and I followed him on a cast earlier this year already. And when we interviewed him, for me to find out he'd only been doing it for 2 years, I was really shocked. But, you know, to have Aiden in it, and then for you to have your kids, four kids going in it, you know, it is, and I'm trying to drag mine in it, but it is, that's one thing we talk about a lot is just that, you know, it's a dying sport, and if you don't get your youth interested somehow, then it's definitely going to go away.
Yeah, and you may have to change some stuff to occupy them. Like, sometimes when we go hunting at night, my whole family packs on a Ranger. Some dogs hunt good with a Ranger, some don't hunt good, but Merle's had to adjust to that. It doesn't bother him, but he's kind of like, man, y'all are driving around while I'm out here. So that's kind of things I try to adjust to where I can occupy them. Like, I had to go through one of my properties and make roads, cut roads, so me and the wife and kids can drive the Rangers around while he trees coons or trees squirrels. And I try to just take that and angle it where another training exercise, like helping him make more noise to hold pressure. I think comp hunts are just really on how obedient that dog is. It may not say much about that dog squirrel hunting. I never hold a cast against a dog. You know, that dog may not do great in that cast, but that don't hold nothing against him. When you pull a gun out, you are going squirrel hunting. It's just a comp hunt showing how obedient he is as far as a stay put, get treed, and all that. Or pressure. A lot of it's pressure. And you got two other dogs out there barking and stuff, and you get a bunch of, one may have a higher pitched bark over here, and makes them dogs think, hey, that dog's actually got something on the ground or something and want to go over there or something. I try to occupy my kids as much as I can. So if they don't want to walk but a mile, you know, I try to make it just where they have to bark a mile, and I carry them the other mile or two.
Well, Casey, about every episode, I try to get somebody to tell me a funny story. I'm going to see if I can get one out of you. It can be about you or your kids, or if she doesn't listen, your wife. If you know one on me, it can even be about me, but you got anything for us?
Funny story. Well, it was actually at the Laura Hill hunt. I think it was the NKC World Hunt, iced only, at Laura Hill. It's by a lake. It's Laura Hill Lake. It's a WMA. And we're all sitting there, morning rounds over. Some geese come flying in. And thing about my kids, they're not shy about any animal. And I had my youngest son with me, Waylon, and these geese slowly start walking up the bank. And I think it was Ken Nisley or Matt Cozart told my kids, go catch that goose. My son, he slowly worked his way down to that Toyota. Matt Cozart's Toyota Tacoma's parked down there, and that goose kept walking up, and they eventually worked their way around that truck, and my youngest son jumped out from behind that truck and caught that goose, and I had to run down there and grab that goose before it just knocked my kid out with his wings, because that's one thing about my kids, they ain't scared of nothing. I have to sometimes get them to be aware of their surroundings and what they're around. We show cattle, too, or my boss shows cattle, and we go and help, and my kids do the peewee showmanship, but when we're grooming cows and stuff, some of my kids will just walk right under a cow, and I'm like, man, come on. You know, they just think animals are, you know, just a everyday just person with them.
Well, it sounds like the kids need to stay with Mike or Sweet Pea. Sounds like other people get them in trouble too much.
Oh, man, you could get my kids up, tell them to go catch a goose or go get in a mud hole. We were at that Laura Hill hunt, and Ken Nisley showed them there's these lizards in the water or salamanders, and he taught them how to catch these salamanders. They would latch on to a little fake worm, and they had a they throw that fishing pole with that fake worm out there and catch these salamanders. And I bet they had a whole bucket of them things, and we dump them things back out in that water. They'll get into anything, and they'll learn. Everybody at a comp hunt's going to teach your kids something. As far as it's outdoors or something, it might not be what you want them to learn, but there's always, I've always had been around good people that, you know, everybody's enjoys the kids, and they are always open to learn something. And may not be what their mom wants them to learn, but boy, I have them where they'll bring snakes home. It's, oh, it drives you nuts.
Well, it sounds like you're at least raising them right.
Oh, we try. At least want to in that direction anyways. We try to do the best we can with all of them.
We've kept you on the phone now a little over an hour, it looks like.
Oh, that's fine. My wife probably is like, that's normal for her. Someone's always calling here. talking dogs, and that's just what we do. We talk dogs, enjoy it, talk kids.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. I hadn't got to meet you in person yet. I hope to one day. But I have enjoyed the conversation and appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank y'all.
And we will definitely be, I do follow along with you on Facebook and keep on following along with you. And I don't know, I'm sure that as busy as you stay in the hunts, this is probably going to be the last time we talk to you.
Hopefully.
up at Hardin, if you get a chance to come up this way.
We'll do it. We'll do it. We start to work that way. Harvest is almost rounded up. I think I got, 70 more acres to go on beans, and we'll be done. And then we'll just be hauling grain. So that's when I really start kicking up on the comp hunts on the weekends.
Well, I usually hang around Hardin every time I can just because it's close. And again, I can't use my kids as an excuse to you, but I'd use them for an excuse right now. I don't travel a whole lot because they're so young. Of course, you have no sympathy for that.
No.
But my pup is young, too, so she's my other excuse. But anyway, she's probably sitting out there wondering why I hadn't fed her yet. Anyway, we'll let you go and let you get to feeding and get to the kids. And again, we do appreciate you coming on.
Thank y'all.
Thank you, Casey.
All right, we'll see you.